to go, don't you? Homesick. I'm homesick. I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus. He purchased me. To him. Thought I was singing a special there for a moment. Okay, we'll try another one. Page 62. Brother Nathan says y'all don't know this one either. Oh, how sweet the glorious message simple faith may claim. Oh, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. Still he loves to save the sinful, heal the sick and the lame. Cheer the mourner, still the tempest, glory to his name. Oh, yesterday.
speaks to thee that word of pardon as in days of yore. Oh, yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Yes, glory. Oft on earth he healed the sufferer by his mighty hand. Still our sicknesses and sorrows go at his command. He who gave his healing virtue to a woman's touch, to the faith that claims his fullness still will give. With them to abide, so through all life's way he walketh ever near our side. Soon again we shall behold him, hasten Lord the day, but 'twill be this same Jesus as he went away. Oh, yes. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Oh, glory to his name. Yes, glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Oh, yes.
Good, you learned two tonight. He paid a debt. As Brother Nathan comes for a prayer request. He paid a debt. He did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sin.
To wash my sins away.
paid a debt that I could never pay. Let's stand and sing it. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. Oh, and now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. All day long, Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay.
Amen. Aren't you thankful for that tonight?
Amen.
Well, whenever Brother Hoover leads songs, it serves a twofold purpose, I believe, at least. And one is that if anybody's been complaining that we sing the same old songs over and over, it just squashes that spirit. And then the other one is that it just keeps us musicians to make sure that we're not getting rusty and that we still can pick up a few things on the fly. But amen. You enjoyed the service tonight. Amen. Appreciate Brother Hoover. Brother Furman kind of threw that on us last minute, but remember Ethan in prayer. He's not feeling very well tonight, and Sister April as well. And so I want to remember them in prayer, that the Lord just move on the scene in that situation. And good to see Sister Estera back with us. She's been away for a while with the kidney stone problems and a couple of surgeries and things like that. And I know we've sure missed seeing her, and I know she's missed being here. You know, it's nice to be able to go back and listen to the services, but it's just not the same as being here in the presence of the Lord. So we're certainly very happy to see you back. And several have been asking about the 4th of July and Labor Day meetings, what we're planning on doing. We are having 4th of July meetings and Labor Day meetings, Lord willing, this year. I don't have all the details sorted out, but I'll try to have at least some sort of announcement on that Sunday morning, Lord willing. And Brother Wes Willis is going to be preaching for us Sunday morning and Sunday evening, so remember those services in prayer. And then not this Friday, but the following Friday, which is the 31st, we'll be having a youth service here at 7:30 for all the youth. And anybody's welcome to come, but it'll be focused to the youth. And just to remind some of you younger kids, teenagers, whatever you are, we're going to try to, at least the first two rows on each side, we're going to try to reserve for the young people, 10 and up. To try to get them to sit up front, since the service is focused more to them. And I want to continue to remember Brother Morrison in prayer. I went by to see him today, and his back, he's still just in a lot of pain with that sciatic nerve and running down into his legs and his feet, and his feet going numb. So I want to remember him in prayer. I'll be preaching again, Lord willing, this Friday night in Sellersburg for him at 7:30 there. So remember that service in prayer, and just continue to lift him up in prayer. Also, Adeline Stutzman's not feeling well this evening, so I want to remember her in prayer. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Layton, would you just come this evening and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Bless you, my brother.
It's talking about singing the same old songs. There's at least 80 we've got, and I know because I typed them all up. But I'm in trouble now. Brenda's going to want them all in the book and all of them with the notes. And believe me, if doing 80 three times didn't get me, I don't know what I'm going to do with the other 120. You have to come down and visit me in the little room somewhere, I guess. But sincerely, Brother Bryant, Brother David Yancey called me today, and we talked for a while, and he sends his greetings. He's heard nothing but good about you. I don't know where he got that from. No. Forgive me. No, Brother Joel Hattershaw. I always want to call Habershaw. Well, anyway, that brother and his family, they're back down there, and he's done nothing but give good reports about our pastor and about the church. So, isn't it nice that somebody that felt led to go back down, I guess you'd call it their home church, after being with us for several months, that he took a good report for our pastor and for all the saints here. So we appreciate that, and he sends his greetings to you and to the church, and he asks that we remember them in prayer down there. They're like most churches, are having a few problems. So if you, Brother Yancey, happens to cross your heart during your prayer time or so forth, remember him in prayer as well as the others. But we have these that need prayer now. So let's go to prayer for these requests. Heavenly Fathers, I approach you, and if I was out of line and a little foolish there, forgive me. It was just a little something funny on my heart there about the number of songs and so forth. But we truly do love you and your people. And Lord, we have little Ethan that's having problems again. Satan has battled him all his little life. And though we may not understand it, we do believe with our heart that you've got it all under control. Lord, you're the master of the wind. You're the one that can handle and does handle everything, even if we don't understand. But Lord, we ask you to heal the lad tonight. Whatever sickness Satan has put on him, may you come on the scene for him. And for our dear friend and brother, Brother Morris Bryant, Lord, I understand what back problems are like. Haven't had them in the past, some severe ones, but you healed me. And Lord, I know you can heal Brother Morris also. Reach down thy kind, loving hand and heal your servant, Lord. I know he gives a lot, travels back and forth and preaches and does his best that he can, Lord, to stay with your word. And may you heal him so that he'll be able to resume his full duties again in service for you. And for the other sister that Brother Nathan mentioned, may you heal her. Father, we're so glad to be here with some of your children tonight, with those of like precious faith, and good to see Sister Estera back with us. She's been missed, Lord Jesus, and we look around and see her husband, but she and Sister Naomi not being here, it's like we're not complete, Lord, because they're not here. And how glad and how happy and how thankful we are that you've healed her body and you've allowed her to return to come and worship you, not us, Lord, but you around the Word of God. Now, Father, as always, you're invited into this service. May you walk the aisles and go between the pews, and may you bless your children tonight, Lord, and all the way that only you can do it. You're invited into this service. May your presence, your omnipotent glory, and your power be here with us tonight. We love you and appreciate all that you do, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. Brother Nathan asked me earlier about Monday night. I had the privilege to go over and sit in the audience when the President of the United States was speaking. And he had a very boisterous, loud crowd to speak to, and they got into the spirit of the rally, and they really supported him. Some of them were on their feet the entire time that he was speaking. And I was sitting there in my seat, and I just kept thinking that this quote kept going over and over and over in my mind. And I'm not here to bring politics to the pulpit. That's not appropriate, and I'm not doing it for that reason. I have a spiritual nugget to share with you. But I just kept thinking of the quote, you could put a George Washington and an Abraham Lincoln in every schoolroom, and it's still not going to turn this nation around. She's gone. And all the promises that are made, and it doesn't matter what party makes them, they're not going to keep them. They don't have any intention to keep them. Some of them that they make, they can't keep. But we serve a God tonight. We're here tonight to lift up not a man, but we're here to lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I think we should be boisterous about it if we want to be. Some of us may just sit and weep, but we came to lift him up. We came to praise him this evening. And you know, the things are said about, and I'm conscious of the fact that I sing songs that some of you don't know and things like that. But you didn't come to hear what I was going to sing, and I didn't come to hear see what you was going to wear and see what you was going to sing. I came for one purpose. I want to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to praise him, because the Bible says he comes down and he inhabits the praises of his people. So just the fact that you say hallelujah or praise the Lord or thank you, Jesus, or I love you, Lord, that draws his presence into this room. And then we can forget about Brother Nathan and what he's going to preach or he's not going to preach, who's going to sing a special, who's not going to sing a special, and we can just enter into worship and worship the Lord. Amen? See? Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord.
my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Oh, you fill me with your Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You fill me with your Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You fill me with your Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Oh, you healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. Do you know what I'm saying? Saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. With your Holy Ghost, surely been good to me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost, you surely been good to me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost, you surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. You healed my body when I was sick, you surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick, you surely been good to me. You healed my body when I was sick. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could not do. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me. World behind me, no turning back, no turning back. You can take this whole world, just give me Jesus. You can take this whole world, just give me Jesus. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. Oh, I have started the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. No turning back, no turning back.
I was talking with a young man this week, and he's got all this proof. He keeps wanting to bring me all this proof of this mistake and that mistake and this place that Brother Branham was wrong and that place was that Brother Branham was wrong.
Oh my.
I finally just said, look, You can bring all the proof you want to and lay it here. It doesn't matter. I know what he did down in here. I know what Jesus did. And I know that he used a prophet to do it. So I don't know how you feel tonight, but I'm happy to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen. You know, sometimes we get out amongst Laodicea and our eyes get glazed over. We get things out of focus and we come into the house of the Lord and God uses a minister, gets up here in the pulpit and he just takes the lens and he begins to turn it and he gets us focused back in on what really matters. It doesn't matter what they're doing in Washington, D.C. It doesn't matter what happened in London today. It doesn't matter what's going to be on the news or not on the news. It doesn't matter whether your team won or your team didn't win. None of that matters because Calvary settled it. It is finished. Amen. And so if you'd stand with me tonight, I'm just going to sing this again because I told that person, not the first time I've told anybody this, but I told that person this week, I said, if everybody, including my wife, turns and walks the other way, I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen. If you ever need to find me, if you lose track of where I'm at, you just come to the foot of the cross because that's where I'll be. Because without that, I'm nothing. So I have decided, I don't know if you have tonight, if you have, you raise your hands and praise the Lord, you sit there and weep before him, whatever you feel like doing, but I just want to worship him. Before we get into the word, I want my heart prepared. I want my heart stirred up so that the word can come forth and find a resting place and settle there. And I can go from this place and face the battles that I'm getting ready to face. I have decided.
And I don't know if Brother Hoover was aware of this or not, Brother Tim Humes had sent me his winter newsletter just a few days ago, I guess. And I was reading a story on the back page of that one of the brothers from his church had put in there. And I didn't realize it, but apparently the man that wrote that song was a Christian overseas. And there was a tribal chief that had brought his family up before him and told him, "You renounce this God of yours or I'm going to kill your children." He said, "I've decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back." And they killed his children right there in front of him. They said, you follow us and renounce Jesus or we'll kill your wife. And he said, "The cross before me, the world behind me, I won't turn back." They killed his wife in front of him. They said, "Now you deny this Jesus Christ or we'll kill you." He said, "Though none go with me, still I will follow." And they killed him. And it so impacted the chief to see this testimony that he said, we're going to follow this Jesus too. You wonder, why on earth would God allow things to happen that way? I don't know, but I know that I've decided to follow him tonight. And they can say what they want to say. They can do what they want to do. But I've never found anything that would replace the joy of following Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing it again with that in mind of how it was written. Amen. Maybe you'll have to make your choice sometime. Are you going to go with your family? Or are you going to go with Jesus? You going to keep your life, or are you going to lay it down for the gospel? Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. Oh, I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. Oh, I have decided. Come what may, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. Let's sing it this way. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. Oh, it satisfies. It satisfies. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them, I'm so glad I believe this message. To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Oh, I am feasting on milk and honey. Oh, I am feasting on milk and honey. I am feasting on milk and honey. It satisfies, oh, it satisfies. So take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. God bless you tonight. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. And as you're turning, just wanted to say I had been looking over that list of 200 and something songs this week, trying to decide a couple songs to sing. And I ran across a song that we hadn't sang in quite a while. I thought, I need to sing that before too long. It seems like we haven't sang it in a long time. And it just didn't seem like it fit it along with my sermon tonight. But it was in the service anyhow. Brother Joshua was playing it when Brother Hoover came up, and Brother Hoover sang it. So God has a way of working things out, doesn't he? Amen. God bless you. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and want to begin with verse 36. And we'll be going back and forth between Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 5 and Luke chapter 8 quite a bit tonight. So if you want to kind of hold your place there around Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. We'll be reading a lot from there tonight. St. Mark chapter 4 and verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne tonight, Lord, it's certainly a privilege to follow you. Lord, wherever you would have us to go, whatever you'd have us to say, whatever you'd have us to do. Lord, help us just to lay aside everything else. Lord, whatever it would be, Lord, help us to lay it aside so that we could follow you. Lord, sometimes we don't understand your leading. Sometimes others may not understand your leading, but Lord, we just want to follow you tonight. Lord, if there's maybe individuals here tonight that maybe you've been leading them to things and maybe they've been wondering, Lord, why would you lead me to do this or why would you lead me to do that? Maybe we're concerned about their friends or their family or their neighbor not understanding, Lord, but may you just help them to lay aside all those thoughts and just follow you to whatever you would lead them to do, whatever you would have them to say. Lord, may you just have preeminence in this service, Father. Lord, as we'll be looking at some storms that you spoke to tonight, Lord, may you speak to our storms. Lord, may it not be just a story that happened 2,000 years ago on the Sea of Galilee, but may it become something that's personal to us tonight, Amen. Father. Lord, help us to receive encouragement and faith, Lord, and strength for the journey. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. Your faith should already be built tonight because the word tells us that faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the word of God. So we've already read a portion of scripture, so our faith should be built, but we want to read a little further tonight and see if it can get built a little bit more. And St. Mark's gospel here, he's describing this story, and they had been teaching, Jesus had been teaching the people, and he'd become tired and weary. Brother Bram said that virtue had gone from him, from discernments and different things like that. And so they get him and they took him into the ship and they're going to go across to the other side. And as they're journeying across, there arises this great storm and the winds begin to beat against the boat and the waves begin to beat against the boat and even to come into the ship until it said that the ship was now full. And so now they're beginning to get very desperate, and they, knowing that Jesus was tired, they let him rest for quite a while, but now it's got to the spot to where the waves are coming into the boat in such a way that there's just about enough water to where it's level with the edge of the boat. Maybe that's the situation that we get ourselves in sometimes. We think, oh, I don't want to bother him until our little ship's about to capsize. But they begin to cry out in fear. And in verse 38, it says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Now, I don't know about you, but he must have been pretty tired to be able to sleep through this type of a storm and the wind pushing against the side of the boat and rocking it back and forth and the waters spraying over the side of the ship to a spot that it would even fill up the bottom of the boat there to where it would rise up. And here he is laying on the back of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and saying to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, this was... We've been looking at this thought of speaking the word. And here, this man that they had followed, they had seen him break off fish and multiply it. They had seen him break off bread and multiply it. But now he speaks to the storm that they're facing, and the very winds and the waves obey his spoken word when he begins to speak forth. And it wasn't something that, you know, he spoke and then 3 hours later it began to calm down. They said, well, you know, that was just nature taking care of itself. But he raises his little, Brother Bram said it this way, his little frail frame, and he straightens himself up. Here he is, worn out from the meetings, so asleep that he doesn't even notice the water splashing in over the side of the boat on him. So asleep that he doesn't even notice the wind rocking the boat back and forth, but their cries awoke him. The wind didn't wake him. The water didn't wake him. The rocking of the boat didn't wake him. But one little disciple begins to cry out, "Master, we need you." And it woke him. Amen. Oh, let me tell you tonight, your cries will still awake the Master. Amen. He can still speak to your storm. And they begin to be fearful and afraid. And he just stands up in the boat and he says, "Peace, be still." And the winds and the waves obeyed him. They begin to be quiet. They begin to be calm. And the rocking of the boat begin to stop. And the spraying of the waves begin to stop. And the moving of the wind in their sails begin to stop. And it was just peace and quiet on the Sea of Galilee. From the middle of a terrible storm. And just suddenly peace. Maybe you've been there in your life. Seemed like your little boat was getting tossed all around. Maybe it was trouble in the home or trouble on the job or trouble at school or trouble in the family. And Jesus spoke to that storm, and where there had been malice and where there had been temper and where there had been yelling and where there had been bitterness, there was just calm. He's still able to do that tonight, you know. Perseverant, 1962, he said he was a man when he laid on the back of that ship that night. I want you to notice the detail that he gives of Jesus' physical condition. He was a man when he laid on the back of that ship that night. Virtue had gone out of him. His lips cracked from preaching. His voice hoarse, coarse. He was laying on that ship asleep until 10,000 devils of the sea swore they'd drown him that night. When they had him laying there on a pillow in the back of the boat, and the waves of flashing back and forth couldn't even wake him up. He was a man when he was asleep. He was a man when he was tired. But when they wakened him and he stood out there and he put his foot on the rail of the boat and looked up and said, "Peace, be still." And the winds and the waves obeyed him. That was more than a man. Yes, sir. That was God in that man. He was divine. He was more than a prophet. He was a God prophet. God in a man, Jehovah made flesh, to take the sting out of death. And here, no doubt it was confusing to them. They could look and see this man get tired and get weary and go down and lay and sleep in the back of the boat. Brother Bram said he sat down on the side of a rock one time with a headache. And he could get tired and he could get weary. He could get a headache. He could go through all these different physical things, of, as Brother Branham said, dry, cracked lips and a hoarse voice and things like that. But then that same man could straighten up his shoulders, as we looked at last week, and say, "Lazarus, come forth." Right. And a man that was dead 4 days, stand up and walk out of the tomb. Right. He could straighten up those frail shoulders that looked like he was just a man. And he could speak, "Peace be still." And the winds and the waves would obey him. And they could say, "What manner of man is this?" Right. I've known a lot of men. I've known a lot of good priests and scribes. And I've heard stories of prophets. And I've seen some mighty things done maybe in their own ministries. They could look around, "My Peter, I've seen you do some mighty things out there when we was preaching the gospel together. But I've never seen a man speak like this before." Now, the purpose of them crossing over, they had gotten this boat and they were going across the sea of Gennesaret, and they were going into a place of Gadarea. And as they go across in the ship here, the waters has caused them problems. The storms has caused them problems. No doubt they get across to the other side and the disciples lean the ship out on the sand to try to get all the water out of it. And they begin to discuss the events of the night's voyage over to Gennesaret. And in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, it says, And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now Luke 8:27 says it this way, "A certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs." And Brother Branham poses this question, and is your life worthy of the gospel in 1963? He said, "Listen, there was one person in the Bible that stripped their clothes off. That was Legion. He was out of his mind. When Jesus found him and gave him his right mind, he put on his clothes," right? He said, "What makes you strip your clothes off? The devil." You see some of these women out here that looks like they left the house without their skirt and without most of their shirt. And they're going, Brother Ramsey said, they don't have hardly anything on the top and hardly anything on the bottom. And they go out and looks like they just went out without their clothes on except their undergarments. What is it? They're demon-possessed. Amen. Brother Branham said he could prove they're either demon-possessed or completely insane. We just heard it Sunday night, didn't we? Oh, my, what is it? There was this spirit on him, and that spirit still gets on people today, causes them to strip off their clothes. But once Jesus got a hold of him and he was in his right mind, they found him clothed. Mark chapter 5, and no man, verse 3, could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now, Brother Bram says it this way in The Maniac of Gadara, 1954. He said, seeing this poor old fellow Legion out there, maybe once in a while, he'd come to himself. He'd just look and say, what am I doing here? What? Look, here's chains all around him and things like that, and his body all cut up. Then the devil would throw him into a spell, and here he would go. Maybe he'd come to again and think, I got a wife and children somewhere. And the first thing you know, the devil pull him into another spell, and here he go. And he was a murderer if he could get to people. He didn't know he was doing it. The devil was doing it. That's right. Amen. Maybe some of you have come to your senses sometimes and thought, what on earth have I been doing? Maybe it took something to snap you to your senses. Maybe it took something to awaken you out of that spirit that had entangled you. You remember Brother Branham said in one place, he said, this man, the very thing that started this was he told one lie to his wife. And then that thing began to go around and around. And then because he didn't correct that, then Satan would come with something else and throw it on him. And then he wouldn't correct that, and Satan would just wind another string and another string and another string until he was completely bound. But yet every once in a while, he'd come to his senses and think, good Lord, what am I doing to myself? Here I am cutting myself with stones and chains all around me and people scared to come up to me, and I've got a wife and children somewhere. And then Satan throw him into one of those spells again. Maybe he had you in some kind of a spell. Maybe it was an alcohol spell or a drug spell or some type of an addiction. Maybe it was a temper spell. Maybe it was a stubborn spell, whatever it was. But then God would call you out of that thing long enough to try to get you to come to your senses. Mark chapter 5, verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now here he runs. Jesus comes off of this boat. They've had a rough night. He was already worn out from preaching and teaching and from healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, opening the blind eyes and multiplying fish and all kinds of things. And he's wore out. He's tired from his ministry. And he falls asleep in the boat. And the devil says, now I'll get him. And Brother Bram said, as we just read it, 10,000 demons of the sea swore that they'd kill him that night, did everything they could to kill him. But yet he steps out on the boat and says, peace be still. And the winds and the waves obey him. And he steps off of the boat. And as the disciples, maybe they're beginning to do some things, getting some things together from the boat. And he begins to walk out on the sand there. This man comes just running to him down the beach and throws himself on the ground and begins to worship him. But in this worship, he begins to cry out and say, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Luke chapter 8, verse 30 says it this way, because many devils were entered into him. Now, this wasn't this man. That wasn't his name. His name might have been John or Paul or Jimmy or Bill or whatever. I don't know what his name was. The Bible doesn't say what his original name was, but he had become Legion, not because that's what his mommy and his daddy called him, but because so many demons had entered into him. He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Right. He didn't say, my name is Legion, for I am many.
But he said, my name is Legion, for we are many. So you recognize that wasn't this man that's speaking here to Jesus. Brother Branham said when he went down to the basement, that man asked him, standing there with his overalls on, said, would you pray for my wife? She's been to insane institutions and everything, and I don't know what to do with her. And he said, Brother Branham went over to lay his hand on her to pray for her. He said, Brother Branham, you better not touch her. He said, oh, he said, I think it'll be okay. And he said, when he did, she grabbed him by the arm. He said, about like to yank his arm out and tried to throw him up in the air. And he said, it was just a good thing he could get his foot up and push off of her, or she would have done it. And he said, he ran back up on the steps. You say, you mean a prophet of God run up on the steps? I'd like to see what you'd have been doing. You'd have been jumping out of a window somewhere saying, get me out of here. And he runs back up on the steps. And he said, that woman laid down on her back and began to writhe like a snake and crawl around on her back and hit her head up against the side of the wall and busted a big piece out and began to spurt blood everywhere and took a piece of that plaster that fell off the wall and chunked it at her husband and said, went and almost knocked his head off, hit the wall beside him there. Right. She said, William Branham, I have nothing to do with you. I brought her here. He said, Brother Branham, she doesn't even know who I am. She doesn't even know who she is, and she hasn't spoke in 2 years. How does she know who you are? He said, it's not her talking, brother. He said, the demon recognizes that gift, and it recognizes that something's about to happen, and that's that demon speaking through her.
Amen.
They cried with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, you remember Brother Branham, he prayed for this woman in this condition. He said he'd seen all kinds of things. He'd seen people in the insane institution so out of their mind that they were washing their face in the bedpan and saying all kinds of crazy things out of their head. But he said, I'd never seen anything manifest itself like that. And he said he prayed for this woman. And the man said, what should I do, Brother Branham? And he said, I'd take her and put her back in an insane institution for now if they'll have her. And he said he went and did it, and a day or two later, she was sitting up in her right mind. Oh, my. Jesus Christ is still Jehovah Jireh tonight. Brother Branham says it this way in The Mighty Conqueror in 1958. He said they had been used to overcoming everybody, so no one could ever pass their way. You notice he didn't say he had been so used to overcoming everybody that no one would pass his way, but he says they had been so used to overcoming everybody so no one could even pass their way. And they were used to kind of just having the rule of their area on their own. And, you know, nobody went around the graveyard where Legion was because they might get killed or beat up. Or many different men that would try to bind him, Brother Branham said. And he said he had the strength of 10 men. He said, if a demon-possessed man can do something like that, what could a Holy Ghost-filled man do? If a demon-possessed man can have power and strength and might place fear in people's hearts because they're scared to pass by, what would a Holy Ghost filled person do? Right. What could Samson do against 1,000? One little man, they painted, Brother Branham said, great big brawny shoulders and all that. He said that wouldn't have been some miracle for him to pack the gates of Gaza away. But he said he was a curly headed shrimp. And this little curly headed shrimp, here comes these soldiers, stomp, 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 1,000 of them. But the Holy Ghost anointed him, and he took the old jawbone of a donkey and slayed 1,000 of them. I preached on it Friday night at Brother Morse's, when the minority becomes the majority. And there was 1,000 of them against one. It looked pretty bad, Brother Hoover. But by the time it was all said and done, it was one against none, and he was in the majority. But these demons had been so used to overcoming everybody that nobody would even pass their way. But Jesus gets off of the boat. And they were so used to overcoming everybody. But you know what? There was another spirit that was on this man that was used to overcoming everybody too. And he wasn't just used to overcoming everybody. He was used to overcoming everything, every spirit, every demon out of hell, death, hell, and the grave. He was used to overcoming. And here these two spirits meet each other, about like Brother Branham when he met the man in Portland, Oregon. And Brother Branham said he came running down through there and preachers flew left and right and everywhere. He'd already broken a man's jaw, I think, and put him in the hospital. And he ran up there and he said, "Oh my," he said, "tonight," he said, "I'll break every bone in your body." Brother Branham said he was very able to do it. Here he was, weighed twice as much as Brother Branham did. And Brother Branham said that the demon in that man made a challenge. He made a prophecy. "I'll break every bone in your body." And he said, but then the Holy Spirit spoke through him before he even knew what he was doing. And the Holy Spirit made a challenge back and a prophecy and said, "Tonight you'll fall at my feet." And he said, "Fall at your feet." Now there's been two prophecies go forth. One of them's got to be false prophecy and one of them's got to be true prophecy. And as he speaks this, he said he went to swing back his fist like that. And he said he got the strangest look on his face and began to spin around and fell right at his feet. And those two policemen said, "Brother Branham, is he delivered?" Said, "No, he loves worshiping that devil." Said, "Is he dead?" Said, "No, he's not dead." And they picked him up and carried him off of his feet. He said the chief of those demons had made a challenge and the Holy Spirit accepted his challenge. And he said when those other demons recognized that the chief of their demons was dead or gone, he had cast him out, he said then everything in the building was healed. Everything in the building that was sick was healed. Amen. People stood up out of wheelchairs and crutches and cots. Everything was healed. Why? The chief demon was laying there. All the other demons got scared, said, "Uh-oh, if this guy can beat him, I know he can beat me. I'm out of here." They had been used to overcoming everybody. They had been used to overcoming these people. Maybe they had got lung cancer because they had sucked down so much nicotine. Maybe they had got liver disease because they had smoked, drank down so much alcohol. Maybe they had all kinds of problems. Maybe they had emotional problems. Maybe they had addictions. Maybe they had sickness and diseases in their body. And they were so used to being overcome by these things. But then a prophet of God steps out to the pulpit. And you know what? He wasn't used to being overcome by those things. But he was used to overcoming them. Not name it and claim it, or not because that he could just, just go out there and mind over matter, but because the Holy Spirit that dwelt in him had placed within him a gift and told him that if you can get the people to believe you, not even cancer will stand in your way. They had been used to overcoming everybody so nobody would pass their way, but now Jesus stands here and they run up and throw themselves down at his feet and say, "Jesus of Nazareth, please, we don't have nothing to do with you." He said, "Come out of the man." They were used to overcoming everybody, but they met a greater overcomer than them. They were used to conquering everything that they came in contact with, but they met a mightier conqueror than them. I don't know what you're facing tonight, but we serve a mightier conqueror than whatever you're facing. I don't know what has been overcoming you and defeating you and leaving you powerless and leaving you thinking that you're not worthy and that you're never going to make it. But there's a greater thing that is of overcoming power that is present here tonight than whatever has been overcoming you. You say, "I feel defeated tonight, Brother Nathan." Well, there's a greater defeater in here tonight than whatever's been defeating you.
Amen.
He cares, do you care? 1963, he said, "Them devils would have never come if Legion hadn't pushed his way out there to meet him." And when he cared enough to make that effort, that stand in his belief, Jesus cared enough to cast out this legion of devils from him. And his neurotic condition was gone. He cared when you care. Yes, sir. He cares when you care. The devil would like to keep you from coming to this service tonight because maybe he's been used to overcoming in your life. Maybe he's been used to overcoming your time. Maybe he's been used to overcoming your finances. Maybe he's been used to overcoming your family life and getting all kinds of arguments going in the home. Maybe he's been used to overcoming your health. He's been used to overcoming your mental battles that you have, and he's been overcoming and he's been defeating and he's been winning a lot of the battles lately. He didn't want you to come tonight, but you struggled through and made it anyhow.
Amen.
And God cares if you care tonight. Amen. Legion, those demons, if they knew what was going to take place, they would have did everything they could to have stopped him from running down that beach. But what was it? There was something in him. Brother Branham said there he would sit and he'd come to himself every once in a while and think, what am I doing? And just at the right time, God gives him enough consciousness to see this man walking down the beach, and he recognizes that's a greater overcomer than the one that I've been serving. Maybe you was in a little church one time, or maybe you was sitting in a bedroom and somebody gave you a cassette tape and you was ashamed to listen to it out in front of your family, so you went in the bedroom and turned it down real low and you ran into an overcomer that was greater than the one that had been overcoming you. Maybe you'd been used to being overcome by bar stools and bar rooms and bar fights. Maybe you'd been used to being overcome by nicotine and drugs and needles. And maybe you'd been used to being overcome by temptation and lust and pornography. But one day you ran across something that was greater than whatever had been overcoming you. Amen. He's still that same God tonight. He's still able to overcome whatever situation you're facing. Mark chapter 5, verse 10, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Luke chapter 8, verse 31 says, they besought him that he would not command them to go away into the deep. Oh my, well, I guess we just throw away our Bible because here we have a contradiction. One says he said, and one says they said. That's what they do with the message today. Oh, well, he said over in this place, you know, that, you know, he said it was this number, and over here he said it was this, and over here he said it was this name, and over there he said it was that name. You better be careful. If the devil can pull that over on you, he'll sure pull it over with you on the Bible, because you'll find those same numerical and name discrepancies supposedly in the Bible that they find in the message. They said, oh my, you know, he said those people that came down there and was up in the balcony and had the false things written on the prayer cards, they said, oh my, you know, one man, they said that one time he said he was dead, the other time said he was living as far as he knew, another time said he was paralyzed, another time he said he was 6 months from there, he was dead, and different things back and forth. Said, oh my, just, you know, changing back and forth all the time. Sort of like the one time that Jesus, you know, he multiplied the loaves and fishes, but one time it was a certain number of loaves and fishes that he multiplied, and there was a certain number of baskets left over. And then another time, another writer comes around and says it was a different number of loaves and fishes and a different number of baskets that was left over. You mean we just throw away the Bible? No. Then if you go back and read another gospel, Jesus says, remember the 5 loaves and the 12 baskets that was picked up? And you remember the 7 loaves and the 10 baskets that was picked up? Oh, you mean it happened more than once? Oh, I see now. It begins to make sense. Because here he's referring to them both in the same verse. You don't think there was more than one situation, some of these things that happened to Brother Branham, you know, in all the hundreds and hundreds of meetings, you don't think there were similar situations that happened? Oh, Jesus, they said over here that Jesus, you know, when he came back he through Jerusalem, he healed one blind man. His name was Bartimaeus. But this other gospel says there was 2 blind men that he healed. I'm so confused. Don't be confused. Amen. Many of these things were hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent, but they were revealed to babes such as would learn. I'm glad to be a babe tonight. I'm glad that I'm not a know-it-all, Brother Hoover. I'm glad that I can still be taught something and learn something from the Holy Spirit, whether it's coming direct from the throne or through another ministry or through a tape or whatever it is. I pray, God, keep teaching me. I want to be further down the road next week than I am this week, and I want to be further down the road next month than I am next week, and I want to be further down the road next year if he tarries than I am next month. I want him to continue to mold me and make me and teach me. But people get all bound up and torn up and confused over this quote over here, this quote over there. They've apparently never read their Bible very much, or they'd be very confused. Mark says he besought him, and Luke says they besought him. Now, which was it? Well, it depends on what you're looking at. Are you looking at the natural? Legion, this man that was called Legion, it was his physical tongue and vocal cords that besought him. So Mark was right. But it wasn't him that was speaking. It was those demons speaking through him. So Luke was right.
Amen.
So it depends on what you're looking at tonight. James said, oh my, show me your works without your faith without works. I'll show you my faith with works. And Paul comes around and says, oh my, Well, you know, we don't need so much works. We just need faith. Which one was right and which one was wrong? One was looking at what man saw, a prophet of God came and told us, and the other one was looking at what God saw.
Right.
So it depends on what you're looking at tonight.
Amen.
Why Christ Speak 1963. When he met Legion with 2,000 devils in him, it wasn't Jesus a-crying, it was the devils a-crying. If you're going to cast us out, oh my, suffer us to go into the herd of the swine. Jesus said, now Father, am I able to do this? He said, come out of him. And the devils took their flight. Why cry, speak? I was telling a brother here recently, I was listening to a tape a while back, and Brother Bram said there was this ship that was coming in, I believe it was from London, coming into New York, and into the New York Harbor. And just about the time they got towards the New York Harbor, a great storm came up, and the captain was going around telling everybody, you better pray. You better pray through now. You better hurry and pray. In 20 minutes, we might be at the bottom of the sea. And there was this little lady just sitting over there, just as calm as could be. He said, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? Said, didn't you just hear my announcement? Said, if something doesn't change here, we're going to be at the bottom of this sea in 20 minutes. He said, you better pray through. She said, oh, but I'm already prayed through. Right. See, many of us wait till the time of emergency and then we cry, God, don't you care that we perish? But she was already prayed through. Amen. She was already prayed up. And she said, you see, she said, just across the harbor here, I have a daughter. She said, I also had another daughter that's gone on to glory. And she said, whatever takes place here, in the next 20 minutes, I'm going to be seeing one of my daughters.
Right.
She had a peace in the time of storm.
Right.
Oh my, she didn't have to cry, just speak. He said, Jesus never said, Father, am I able to do this? He said, come out of him, and the devils took their flight. St. Luke chapter 8, verse 32. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Children of Israel, 1947. Is it okay if I read one way back in 1947 tonight?
Amen.
Amen. I still believe it.
Amen.
He says, listen. Remember, this is casting out Satan. He said, with my Bible over my heart, friends, it's casting out powers that's bound those people. And when that power is cast out, that demon will go somewhere if he can get somewhere.
Right.
I want to just remind you, when we have a prayer line up here and people being delivered, you better be reverent. You better be careful. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, you're not a prophet. No, I'm not. But we still serve the same Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And when demons are being cast out of people, you say, oh, you mean you think that you can cast out demons? Well, Jesus said that we could in Mark 16. Amen. He didn't say my name only. He didn't say Brother Hoover's or Brother Layton's or Brother Arnie's name only. He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They should lay their hands on the sick and they should recover, that they could cast out demons, that they could pick up serpents and drink deadly things and it wouldn't harm them. I believe it was for whosoever will.
Amen.
Amen. You know, that's not even limited to around the message. A brother asked me the other night, said, what about some of these healings that go on out in Pentecost and different places? I said, that's just God honoring those people's faith. They believe that they're approaching God through those things.
Right.
Amen. He still honors the people's faith. He could honor men. There was many men back in Pentecost and things that were swindlers and womanizers and everything. But the people believed they were approaching God through those gifts. And they were healed left and right, many of them. There was different men that would stand. And there was Judas in the days of Jesus. Said it went out and he cast out devils. You say, well, I thought that Jesus said that Satan couldn't cast out Satan. Yeah, John 13 hadn't happened yet. Satan hadn't entered into him yet. But this man that was anointed to cast out devils became a devil. My, that would stumble a lot of us. But this, Brother Ram said, that man said, oh, said, you don't tell me that Satan can't cast out Satan. He said, you've come too late to tell me that Satan can't heal. He said, why, there's a witch in our city. And said, people go down there and she takes one of their hairs and runs it through their blood and throws it behind them. He said, about 70% of them are healed. Brother Ram said, no, sir, you just don't understand. He said, Jesus said that Satan can't cast out Satan. He said, so I'll take his word for it. But he said those people think that they're approaching God through that.
Right.
Oh my, how we should be reverent that when something is being taken off of somebody, we should be reverent, because Brother Branham said those spirits will go somewhere else if they can. Amen. I don't want something to come up to somebody that's being delivered and come back on me. You say, oh, it wouldn't happen. Oh, don't tell me it wouldn't happen. Amen. I prayed for a lady in Arizona one time who came through the prayer line struggling with depression. For about the next 3 weeks, I fought depression harder than I ever fought. I thought, I know that lady got delivered, Brother Hoover, because it tried to come off on me. But I just kept telling the devil he was a liar. And after about 3 weeks, he got tired of listening to it and went on. Those things will try to come back. Brother Hoover, different ones know. Brother Branham, many times after the meetings, would still be fighting with those demons and things for many hours and many days after those meetings took place. If we could look into the supernatural realm and see some of the things that go on, it would probably scare us half to death. Brother Branham again questions and answers 1959, talking of the slime. He says it just run them into a fit. He said they had a fit just like anyone. Did you ever see a person have a temper fit? Uh-oh. Hello. They had a fit just like anyone. Did you ever see a person have a temper fit? Well, that's just what it was. That's just them devils. That's what happened to them. You ever see one of them having a temper fit? You say, oh, I know what happened down in Gadara now. See, that's just exactly, just a few more come in there running completely insane, because the medical doctor will tell you that temper is the first stage of insanity. That's what Mayo says, the first stage of insanity. We should be careful. I believe it was Brother Tim Humes got up and told the story about the homeless man. It was a true story, happened, I believe, in Canada, if I remember correctly, that these guys, these teenage kids, began to push this, or no, it was down in South America somewhere, wasn't it? Because I forget what name he used, it was a Spanish name. And these teenagers kept pushing this homeless guy around, pushing him and called him names. And finally one day they just pushed him too far, and he reached over and grabbed a metal pole and just hit one of them upside of the head. Said when he did, the boy just dropped like that. The man didn't mean to kill him, but they just pushed him so far for so long that he finally just lost it. And this lawyer that was going to take the case was a young man. He was a new lawyer. He just graduated. And he went to before the judge there to have the case. And he came up and he said, oh, judge, he said, it's such an honor to have a judge of your caliber. He said, you've been a judge many years, and here I am, just a young man. He said, what an honor it is for you to be able to preside over this case, and I have so much respect for you, and I'm inexperienced, and I don't know a whole lot about the law. I'm just fresh out of law school, and my, to sit under a man such as you. And he walked back to his chair and began to sit down. He came back and he said, I've heard such incredible things about you, and what a just judge that you are. And he just kept going on and on. He said, oh my, just, I've heard of so many of the cases and the wisdom that you use. And finally, the judge grabbed his gavel and beat it. He said, shut up and sit down. He said, I present my evidence. The judge had enough. Listened to him run his mouth, and finally his temper got away from him. So what could they do but let the case go and say, oh, it could happen to anybody. This man, but he said, temper is the first stage of insanity. Somebody begin to push you on the job, call you names, you holy roller, you tapeworm, you this, you that, begin to push you and prod you. You better be careful. That devil that's fighting you might slip over on you and rise up in a different way. He said, temper is the first stage of insanity. Well, I hope that helps somebody tonight. Maybe not. Maybe somebody will go back and listen to it later and it'll help them. Luke chapter 8, verse 34. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it into the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, come to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind.
Right.
And I believe the next verse, the next few words should read, and there was rejoicing and praising and shouting and praises in Jesus' name, and worshiping and hosannas and hallelujahs and amens and clapping and dancing and running. But it says, and they were afraid. Here this man that everybody was scared to death to go around. They were scared to walk by the graveyard where he lived. Afraid he might reach out and grab them because he was used to overcoming everybody. Afraid to take their children near there because there's this naked man living in the tombs. Don't know what he might do or might say or might try. Demon possessed. Don't even go near there. And they come over and they see him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they didn't rejoice. They didn't worship. They didn't sing hosannas. They were afraid. People are still scared of the Holy Ghost many times. Amen. Brother Bram said they're scared of the new birth. Scared of it. The very thing that could help them. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Can you imagine? Maybe some of these Gadarenes had a little sick daughter at home. Maybe they had a wife that was living immorally. Maybe they had scriptural questions. Maybe they had problems in their own lives. And instead of running and kneeling down and saying, Lord, if you can help this man, surely you can help me. If you can help this man that was bound by legions, surely you can help my one little two or three problems. But instead they was afraid of the very thing that could help him. And they besought him, leave our country. Get out of here. And he went and he got in the ship and returned back again. Resurrection of Jairus' daughter in 1954. Brother Branham says they felt more at home with the devil and the hogs than they did with the lovely Jesus. What a sad state to be in. Felt more at home with the devil and the hogs than they did with the lovely Jesus. Why? Because it cost him a little bit, this other situation. Oh, this man got delivered, but you know, it cost him a little bit of hog money, and it became a problem. Luke chapter 8, verse 38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. I love this from God's Wrapped Gift in 1960. Brother Bram says, poor old Legion. He was the only one that wanted help. He always comes to those who wants him. He comes to those who needs him. So he was the only one was helped. I've often thought when I get to heaven, I want to see how much weight his testimony give on hog raisers over in Gadara. If it was going to cost them a herd of hogs, they didn't want no revival. Can you imagine? Upset about a herd of hogs, so upset about their little financial loss that they said, get out of our city. We don't want this. We don't want this. If it's going to cost us something, oh, many people will stand up in a Billy Graham crusade or somebody's meetings and walk up and say they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and shake a man's hand. That doesn't cost them very much. But when Jesus says, forsake all, take up your cross and follow me. Oh, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I believe in the cross, but no, I don't want nothing to do with the cross myself. I don't want to have to go through anything or go through a trial or have to sacrifice anything or lay down some of my time or my money or my efforts or some of my activities and things that I've been doing. No, you're more comfortable with the hogs and the devils than you are with the lovely Lord Jesus. They didn't want a revival because it cost them something. Oh my, can you imagine? I was just thinking of it yesterday and studying how that they go and they get back in the boat. And you know how Judas was. He was always trying to find fault. And I can just imagine Judas as they get in and maybe Peter being the older fisherman and being used to boats a little bit more. Maybe he hops out and he pushes with his strength and pushes that boat out into the waters and climbs up in and they sit down and each find their place at the oar. And Judas turn around and say, you mean we risk our lives? You mean we went through this storm? Rode all night? Our boat almost capsized, filled with water, lightning and thunder and waves and winds and filled up the whole boat with water and the wind almost knocked us over and scared to death for our lives. And we came all this way for one little demon-possessed guy? I thought for sure all the effort we put in, we'd have some great revival over here. The whole city would come and accept us and bring us gifts and put us on their shoulders and say what a great something we was. All of our efforts for this one little demon-possessed guy? Brother Branham says in the resurrection of Jairus' daughter, 1954, well, he never stays where he's not welcome, so he went back. But there was one needy soul that he crossed the stormy sea to get to. And he's the same Jesus tonight. He'd come from glory to one needy soul sitting in this humble church tonight. Same one, he'll every time come to where he's wanted, but never come where he's doubted. You say, oh my, I don't know if the Lord could do something like that for me. If he would cross the stormy seas for one, if he'd come all the way, I believe he would have come all the way from glory and died on Calvary if it had been just to save me or just to save you. If he would have did it just for one, if he would do all of that, how mindful is he of your need tonight? He still crossed the seas. He still crossed through the storms. He'll still walk upon the waters and walk right through the middle of your storm. He'll come from glory right now for one needy soul. He cares that much about you if you care. He's concerned about you. Amen. If the musicians would come tonight. I wonder if Legion, Brother Bram said that he had a wife and children back at home. He dramatizes it and says that maybe he came walking back and he started to come up to the house where he had lived and knock on the door, and the children ran and hid behind their mother and said, oh no, it's Daddy. He's come back home. But there he was, clothed and in his right mind. He said, you don't have to worry anymore. What was it? Something had changed down inside of Legion. And maybe he could take those little children that had been so scared of him, and he could take them by the hand, walk them down the road, the dusty road in Gadara there, and look over, point at that graveyard there. You see, said, see that blood on that tombstone over there? Yes, Daddy, that's my blood. Why would you do that, Daddy? I was just so demon-possessed, I didn't even know what I was doing. You see that little bush over there by that great big tombstone, how it leans over and kind of blocks and shadows from the wind and the rain? Yes, Daddy, that's where I used to live, under that bush over there. You mean you'd leave Mommy and us and you'd go out and you'd do all these things and you'd live under that bush when you had a nice bed at home with a roof over you? Why would you do that? I don't know. There was something in me that had me defeated and it overcome me. Yes. Daddy, what changed? Why don't you live there anymore? He said, oh, thanks to Calvary, I don't live there anymore. Amen. Thanks to Calvary, I don't go live under that bush anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I don't cut myself anymore. I don't tear myself, and I don't try to break the chains that are bound me because somebody already broke them for me. Amen. What changed, Daddy? I met Jesus one day. Yeah. I met Jesus one day. The old man that I used to be, I don't live that way anymore. The way I used to act, I don't act that way anymore. The way I used to talk, I don't talk that way anymore. Why? Because there was a greater one than the one that had overcame me that came and overcame for me. When I couldn't overcome myself, he overcame for me. When I couldn't deliver myself, he delivered me. When I couldn't get freedom, he freed me. When I couldn't heal myself, he came down from glory and healed me. Oh, aren't you thankful tonight that you met that stranger that came and sailed right through your storm, came across your seas and your winds and your waves, and said, come out of him, come out of her. Loose him, as he said to Lazarus last week. Loose him and let him go. I'm so thankful that I met him one day. Oh, where would we be if it hadn't been for that meeting with that just one? Oh, there may be some that are still happier with the demons and the hogs, but I'm thankful that he walked through my storm one day. Amen. Amen. Help me sing this tonight. My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sails, but I have a friend who's watching over me. When the breeze turns into a gale, your storm.
Make your sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Sometimes I soar like an eagle to the heights among the peaks. My soul can be the heights among the peaks, my soul can be found. Oh, some old unexpected storm, it may drive me from the heights, it can bring me low, but it won't. Sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Oh, sometimes we soar like an eagle to the heights among the peaks. Our soul can be found. Oh, then some unexpected storm, it may drive us from the heights, it can bring us low, but it won't bring us down. Oh, 'cause I know the master of the wind. I'm so glad I know the maker of the rain. Oh, he can calm your storm, make your sun shine again. I know the master. Oh, how can you have peace in the middle of your storm? Oh, 'cause I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. Oh, and he can calm your storm, make your sun shine again. Whatever your storm, he can walk through it tonight. Oh, 'cause I know the master of the wind. By his grace, I know the maker of the rain. I know he can calm your storm, make your sun shine again. I know. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful tonight that we know you, that you're able to speak to our storms, that you're able to speak to our circumstances. Lord, that you're greater than our circumstances, that you're greater than the sickness that would try to bind us, that you're greater than the addictions or the habits or the family troubles or the financial troubles or whatever would try to destroy us or discourage us. We know that you're greater, Father. Lord, some of these things may have overcome your people for many years, Father. Lord, but we know that you're a greater overcomer. Some of these things may have had them conquered and defeated, but you're a mightier conqueror than he that's in the world. Lord, we're thankful tonight that you can still speak to our situations.
that you still have our storm right in the palm of your hand, that you still have it under control, and that you can speak at any moment if we cry out to you and say, peace be still, to Brother Jimmy's storm or Brother Joel's storm or Sister So-and-So's storm. You can still speak personally to our storm, Father. Oh, may you speak to hearts tonight. Lord, may you speak peace to our situation. May you speak our name, Father, and say, peace be to your storm. Peace be to your situation. Oh, Father, we believe you're still speaking tonight, that you're still a deliverer, that you're still an overcomer, that you're still a mighty conqueror. You're still Hebrews 13:8. You haven't changed one bit. You haven't changed in one aspect, Father. You're still the same Jesus. You're still our healer, our Savior, our provider, our King, our Lord, our deliverer. Oh, Jesus. Lord, we accept what you've done for us. Lord, we don't have to overcome because you already overcame for us. Lord, we can't heal ourselves, but you already healed us. We can't save ourselves no more than we could lift ourselves over the moon by our bootstraps, but you already came to save us. We can't deliver ourselves, but you already delivered us. We can't be an overcomer on our own. We're too weak, Father, but you already overcame the world for us. Oh, help us to accept what you've done for us, Father. Help us, like Legion of old, to come to our senses long enough for you to do a work in our life, to grant deliverance, Lord, that you could speak to our circumstances, that you could speak to the enemy that would try to bind us. And instead of him binding us, Father, that you would bind him. Oh, may it be so, Father. May you grant deliverance tonight. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke every demon of torment and sickness and disease and every demon of addiction, every demon of bad habits and every demon of temper and stubbornness and strife and bitterness. Lord, we speak to these things not on our own, Lord. We're unable on our own. We're inadequate on our own. But Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we speak these things, knowing that your prophet taught us that when we pray in your name, it's the same as you personally praying. Oh God, if we could just get enough faith to recognize that tonight, I believe every demon would tremble. Every person would be set free. Lord, just build our faith tonight to help us to recognize it's already a finished work. If we can just lift our faith up to a place to accept it. Lord, we've heard the word, and we believe that faith cometh by hearing of the word. Lord, increase our faith tonight, we pray. Grant these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Aren't you thankful for a deliverer? Amen. Maybe Legion would get over there to heaven. Maybe run into some people that knew him before he was delivered. They say, how on earth did you ever make it, Legion? We knew you. We knew what type of guy you was. We saw how demon possessed you were. How on earth could you ever make it? Amazing grace. Oh my, I didn't deserve it, but amazing grace. He came through the storm one night on a stormy sea, came right through the middle of the storm, crossed the sea just for me. There are others he could have delivered, but they weren't even interested. They were more at home with the devils and the hogs. But he crossed through the stormy sea for me. Why would he do that, Legion? Oh, amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace, oh, that brought my liberty. I do not know just why he looked beyond all my faults and he saw my need. Are you thankful that he did? Why don't we stand and worship him tonight? I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to you the cross.
where Jesus died for
why would he take time just out for you? Let's sing the verse again.
It was amazing grace that shall always be my song of grace. You see, it was just his grace. That's what bought my liberty.
I was bound with chains of torment. Oh, I do not know
just why he came.
Oh, why he'd love me enough to cross a stormy sea just for me.
Oh, but he looked beyond all my faults and he saw my need.
Oh, we ought to thank him for his grace tonight.
I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to the cross where my Jesus died.
More time together.
Oh, I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary. Jesus died for me. I must try. I have
courage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. He walks with me, and not a bird shall harm me.
Felt good all day. My wife can tell you that. And about 3 o'clock, I went up and laid down. And usually, she knows me. If I lay down in the middle of the day, I'm either super tired or I don't feel good. And I've been cold all day long and having the chills and covering up with a blanket. And you know how it is when the devil's trying to get a hold of your body. And I just decided I'd go up and lay down for a little while, and I did, and I must have prayed for an hour laying there about some things that's been on my heart, and finally I fell asleep. Slept for about an hour, then I woke up and I started praying again, and I decided, well, I don't think I'll go to church tonight. I'm just not feeling well. I'm tired, I don't feel good, and I've got a headache or a slight one anyway, and my right shoulder's been bothering me the last few days, and So I said, well, I think I'll just stay home. So I laid there about another 10 minutes, and about 20 minutes, I think it was 20 minutes to 5, I think, when I got up. I said, well, I'm going to get up and see how I feel. So I got up and I put on my robe and I walked downstairs, and Brenda had supper ready. So I said, well, I think I'll eat a little bit. So I ate just a little. I didn't want to eat a lot, and sat down at the table. She come up and sitting there. And finally I decided, well, I guess I better get up and get ready for church. So I came to church and Brother Nathan's over here preaching away, and I'm sitting there with a headache. And I know several of you do that. Sister Tina's had them, and Sister Christie's had them, and different ones, and come up and Lord delivers them. So I'm sitting there with this headache, and my right shoulder's just hurting. And I said, well, Lord, I said, I know I prayed for myself, but I'll go up there and stand in front here in a few minutes after Brother Hoover sang a bit, and I'll get anointed and hands laid on according to your word, and I'll be healed. Brother Nathan just kept talking and talking and talking and talking about just accepting your healing. I said, okay, Lord, I'll just accept it. And next thing I know, the headache's gone. The shoulder's not hurting. So he walked back. So praise God.
Amen. I like those kind of reports. Amen.
Oh, peace be still is all that he said to the angry sea on which he had tread, the wind and the waves obeyed his command when he stretched forth his hand and gently said, peace be still.
Has he done that in your life?
Oh, peace be still is all that he said to the angry sea on which he had tread. The wind and the waves obeyed his command when he stretched forth his hand and gently said, peace be still.
Let's sing it as we go.
Oh, peace be still was all that he said to the angry sea on which he had tread. The wind and the waves obeyed his command when he stretched forth his and gently said, peace be still. Oh, peace be still is all that he said.